I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Right. You think this week has gone by quickly or otherwise, Sue?
I'm saying normal. To me, this is normal. Like, average.
I think I'm going to go with that.
You know what I mean? Nothing fast, nothing slow, just kind of right on target.
But tomorrow is Friday, so we are getting closer to the weekend, and we'll have a Reardon Roundtable. I was kind of looking at the calendar here because I don't know if you've heard, but there's a national election that's coming up here in a couple of weeks. And I'm off next Friday. So if you fast forward from there, so you got tomorrow, which is the 18th, I'm not sure who's going to fill in next week. We hope that it'll be someone that does a roundtable, though. Like, if we get a local host, sometimes, you know, we have
Ryan Recker and his
bench
great,
issues. But... Right, but he doesn't really do a roundtable because he doesn't have people. Ryan does the show from Michigan because he lives up there now. But I guess my point here is I'm making it long-winded. There might only be two more roundtables before the election. So tomorrow, and on the panel, Jane will be here. By the way, she just tweeted something out that's just unbelievable to me that we'll follow up on tomorrow. And it has to do, here's what she said. Now, Jane's not always right, but she said, STL city government, fun fact, the city made more revenue from housing citizens detained by the federal government at the workhouse, $10 million, than it does for all of the operations at the airport, $5.2 million.
Holy cow.
Now, that's not good, right?
No.
No, I don't think that's good. So we'll talk about maybe that topic. Donna Behringer, state rep, Greg Keller, GOP consultant, will be here tomorrow. All the regular stuff in the 4 o'clock hour with Paul Hall on entertainment. I watched episode 7 of the Monsters thing, the Menendez thing last night. I'm totally into it. So I think it was episode 6. So now I'm on 7.
Oh, okay. Javier Bardem, if he's in anything... It's outstanding.
He plays Jose Menendez and Chloe 70. Last night, the episode I watched really kind of featured, you know, focus on the parents. The first episode before that was that Eric Menendez episode that was just in one continuous shot. But we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow on the show as well. So, of course, yesterday was the big interview with Bret Baier.
And there are critics
who look at what the administration did and say and think differently. Madam Vice President, they're rapping me very hard here.
Yeah, Bret says that when, you know, all that was ending yesterday, this is what happened.
We were supposed to start at 5 p.m. This was the time they gave us. Originally, we were going to do 25 or 30 minutes. They came in and said, well, maybe 20. So it was already getting whittled down. And then the vice president showed up about 5:15. I could tell when we started talking that she was going to be tough to you know, redirect without me trying to interrupt.
Yeah, they were waving their hands, trying to get them to wrap. So you've been in the studio when politicians are in here and they try to do that to me, right? Because that's, I guess, their job. David Strom from hotair.com back with us on this Thursday evening. David, how are you?
Hey, I'm on with you, so I'm having a great day.
That is a great answer. It's really the only answer this afternoon. So you know, I had Dwayne Patterson on earlier. We were talking about this. I'm in the camp that thinks that certainly it did not go well for the vice president last night. I don't know how much damage was inflicted. And I think, you know, I know that I'm not trying to criticize you, David. You called it a disaster. I think in some minds it is. But I guess I'm looking at it through the lens of, you know, how it might affect the campaign overall. She got in there. She tangled with Bret Baier. Her side thinks that that was a good performance. Our side does not think it was a good performance. But for me, I guess it was more of what I've seen from the vice president in the past. So I wasn't expecting too much.
Well, I called it a disastrous performance, but I agree with you that it actually doesn't move the needle much because the needle is not movable much.
It doesn't seem it is.
Yeah, I mean, here we are. We're witnessing, an epic collapse of a campaign and at the same time seeing only the most minor changes in the polls. And that has to do with the fact that, Kamala Harris's floor is so high and Trump's ceiling is only so high. It's still pretty low.
Whoop. On that note, David decided to hang up. That's that sound when the call just gets completely
disconnected. Was? I thought I hit something like a microphone.
No, that was just one of those things where, and that's not really where you hang up accidentally. That's where AT&T or Verizon or something like
just
that
goes, bye-bye.
Cuts you off and you don't have it. I'll take a little time as, do we see Ethan out there?
Yeah,
because
he's
that's one thing
on
I don't have line of sight, so I'm not exactly sure what's going on
here.
He's
working.
I will say this, Robert Bryce is coming up. Robert Bryce writes on Substack, and I didn't know about this, but did you know Three Mile Island nuclear plant is starting up again?
I did, but only because I read that this morning.
Yeah, so Microsoft is backing this. Other big tech companies, banks getting involved. It is a new renewed nuclear energy bandwagon, and Robert Bryce will join us at the bottom of the hour. All right, David, I think we have you back. Sorry, something just happened there, and it took you off the air. It must have been the Harris campaign. They were trying to take you down.
Anyway, what I was saying was to pull something from Donald Trump. her floor is so low, and his ceiling is only a little bit above that. That really, we're talking about moving a few thousand votes one way or another. So a disaster for her it doesn't move the needle that much. Now, I think she is on a path to lose. I also think she could still win. It's all going to be driven by turnout, but she has the, I'm voting blue no matter who vote. So,
there's a lot of that blue vote. A lot of it is driven by, certainly Roe v. Wade and that issue here. By the way, here's Doug Schoen, who's, he's a Democrat. Consultant guy. He's on Fox.
The so-called blue wall of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania is eroding for the Democrats. There is a level of disorganization on the ground and incoherence vis-a-vis the messaging that is clear. And what I'm picking up is that the Harris campaign really doesn't have a closing message or strategy, as we, I think, saw in Bret Baier's interview with Kamala Harris.
So, David, that means, and I think we're seeing, the polling kind of bear out what he's saying. I'm shocked about Michigan, by the way, and even Wisconsin. I lived in Wisconsin for a long time. You're not too far from there up in Minnesota. Oh. But the consensus, even on the left, because you can kind of see the panic bleeding through here, is that, yes, in fact, what Doug said there is true, and the polling is certainly starting to favor Trump in these states.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. And the key to this election, well, there are really two keys to this election. One is, driving turnout. The other is the fact, I think, that we're seeing now is that swing voters often break together in one direction. And it sure looks like we're seeing a preference cascade among swing voters against Kamala Harris. It's not driven by any one thing. We aren't looking at a collapse as happened with Biden. It's driven by everything. Her only message is she's not Donald Trump. And, everybody already knew that.
Well, You knew it last night.
Donald Trump.
Let's go back.
That is the entire interview, basically in 15 seconds. Strom. Essentially, that sums it up, encapsulates it, right?
Well, that is her final message. It is first they turned up the Trump hatred to 11, then to 12, then to 15, and now it's at about 1,000. If you watch left-wing media, and even Bill Clinton is now echoing this, they're talking about Trump putting people in camps, sending the military out against people. I mean,
rounding up his political enemies, of course.
Yeah. And executions. I mean, it's just they've turned it up to 10,000. They're hoping that fear will drive enough people out there. Their problem is that, when they turned it up to 11, people, everyone they could persuade has been persuaded. They can turn it up to 1 million, and it doesn't make a difference. People know what they think about Donald Trump. They're deciding, can I stand a guy who I don't like being in the Oval Office for another 4 years? Because that's really what this is about, is people deciding whether or not, the swing voters, whether or not they hate Donald Trump so much that they're willing to flush the country down the toilet.
And I have to think that they don't want to flush the toilet, the country down the toilet.
No, I think that's where
they're going to end up. Yeah, exactly. Now, look, the media, let's talk about the media here. David, you wrote something a couple of days ago, and I kind of hammered on this, too, because I saw some of this coverage out there. It started with Mediaite, and then there was a column by Aaron Rupar in The Washington Post and others, and I know you cited this. Trump had this town hall the other night that got a little off the rails because there were medical emergencies, and he starts playing music, and he was charming the crowd. Actually, it was pretty awesome. But if you would have read the media accounts of this, you would have thought it was the biggest, weirdest, they love that word, disaster of a performance ever. Now you got this. This is interesting. Joanna Cole. I don't know who she is. She's on MSNBC, and she's talking about now they think that Trump is drinking.
I mean, look, I know that Donald Trump says he doesn't drink, but this feels like drunken behavior. I think he's probably microdosing, like his friend Elon Musk. It's astonishing behavior, and it's irrational. And if we're exhausted about this campaign, imagine how Donald Trump is feeling. He seems like he's just lost the plot.
Okay, two things about that, and I'd say the send message. I'm going to send the same message to the Bloomberg guy that interviewed Trump a couple of days ago, and this is from our friend Kevin Klein, who's an actor from right here in St. Louis.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't
you? That's how I feel about them.
Yeah.
But that event, I mean, listen to what she's saying right there. You watched the event. I actually took the time to say, okay, let me see what's going on here. And by the way, I did the same thing with Kamala Harris's rally from last Friday night. And maybe it was 2 weeks ago because I'm losing track of time. But at that particular rally in Pennsylvania, the teleprompter went down and she was just completely lost and looked like, you know, an airhead out there. But that never gets any of the media attention. The Washington Post doesn't write about that.
Well, you know, the meme that they're trying to put out there is, you know, Trump is tired, he's deranged, you know, his brain has turned to mush, you know, he's not talking to anyone. I mean, basically, anything they say, you can take to the bank that it's the opposite of the truth.
Pretty much.
I have never seen a more dishonest campaign. It's driven entirely by, I mean, literal hoaxes. I mean, they're hoaxing things. I mean, Terry Moran on ABC was at that event.
At the rally. And he called it right, though.
I mean, he basically said this was really a charming moment.
I played that audio, David, because, you know, I had to give ABC credit there because they called it the way it was. But all these other outlets keep writing about these things with a completely different narrative. I'll give you another example. This is interesting, too. Let me see if I can find this soundbite. So did you hear, and I don't know if you wrote about this, did you see the podcast that Trump did with these two comedians? And I can't remember what guys' names are, right? So,
but they're sports guys.
Yeah. So he goes on, he yucks it up with them. They seem to be having a really good time. And then there's stories that are written about that that say that it was just this disastrous performance by Trump. It was just awful. And now the guy that's doing the, you know, the podcast, one of the guys that's doing the podcast, they're comedians, right? So he's trying to go out and do a comedy tour. And what he says is he got dropped from the tour because of that podcast. Listen to this.
You get an email 3.5 hours out. 3.5 hours after the interview, they cancel shows. Read the exact email, because they're canceling my shows, but they're also begging Live Nation to not cancel future shows with them. Like, they still want business, but they're not this guy. Now, I don't know if it's a Trump interview, but the day before it came out, we were ready to go and we were going on sale this week. And 3.5 hours afterwards, we get this email.
Yeah.
First off, I want to thank you for thinking of BAM for Andrew Schultz's upcoming comedy show. We are always excited when promoters consider our space for their events.
Yeah, so listen to the way this turns out, though.
After some internal discussions with leadership, it was decided that BAM is not the right fit for this show at this time.
Yeah, internal discussions led to a leadership decision based on an interview with Donald Trump. And by the way, that interview was really good. Here's what it sounded like.
Kamala, it's a little hard to say. She's comrade because she's obviously a communist.
Yeah.
She's horrible. So I call her comrade. And it's not bad. But when you put the names together, it's a little, you got to be able to pume.
So, I mean, he did great with those guys. He really, that was the one where he was talking about the weaving. I weave, right? I do the weave. Look, I know that there are people that detest him, but I'd be hard pressed to say, hey, sit down and watch this and tell me that it was a disaster and it wasn't just Trump being Trump.
Well, it is Trump being Trump. And one of the reasons why the people in the corporate media and all the commentators and people on the left really do believe that he is a liar. I think that most of them really do believe that he's a dangerous liar, is because he's a comedian. And so he uses hyperbole, he weaves in stories. It took me years to figure this out. It wasn't until someone else pointed this out to me that if you look at this through the eyes of kind of a performance actor, you know, someone doing a performance, he's actually incredibly funny. The hyperbole is about putting in your mind something that is directionally true. He doesn't mean it literally.
But they take it as literally, and all you have to do, and I will say this, it took me a while too, now this goes back to 2016, but I found myself, and this is when I didn't support Trump back in 2016, but I found myself, and I find myself more and more defending him because I get so sick and tired of them misrepresenting. I mean, you can go to the Charlottesville comment in particular, but even on some of the humor where he says stuff that's clearly a joke, and the idiots on The View and on CNN and MSNBC, they want to make it seem like he's being, are they not that smart, or are they just being deceptive, or maybe a combination of the two?
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's a combination of the two. And I think that there's sort of two types of people on the left. There are the brainwashers and the brainwashed. The brainwashers know that they are creating a narrative. And they just keep on reinforcing the same thing. I mean, you got to see it in hyperspeed when Kamala came out, where suddenly everything was weird, and joy, or even I forget what the word they used last night for her, testy.
All the headlines said testy. You highlighted that in your column. I know. It was like the talking points went out, right?
Yeah, and the whole point is to brainwash people. You repeat things often enough, like the hoaxes. You repeat it often enough and people just sort of absorb it. And even if they know that something isn't precisely true, there's enough smoke, that there must be a fire. And so you've got the high level people who have a brainwashing operation. And then you have women like at The View, where they're just brainwashed. I mean, they literally believe, what they're saying. And it is absolutely absurd. They're living in a different universe, but that's because they've sort of been, you know, captured by the Truman Show, where there are people out there creating a reality for them, and they believe it is real.
You know, and it's true. It is true. It's going to be a damn fun show to watch the day after the election, though, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, talk about must-see TV.
I do worry, though. I mean, you do have, in fact, I think Axios had a story on this. There is a movement among Democrats in Congress to deny Trump certification of his election. Jamie Raskin said it up front, but there apparently are people behind the scenes who, and they're literally referring to January 6th. That they are going to deny him the election on January 6th.
Right. Yeah, because they only want to talk about January 6th. They don't want to talk about what happened in your city after George Floyd, or in my city after Mike Brown, or even after George Floyd. And by the way, here's a question. We'll close on this. Somebody else asked me this today. Where the hell is Tim Walz?
Yes.
He's still on the ticket?
Well, I mean, Tim Walz, he's my governor.
I know.
So, none of this surprises me. The thing about Tim Walz is he has always been this bad. He's always been a liar. He's always been a radical. But he has been cosseted by the media here and turned into this avatar of the masculine guy who goes out and hunts. And then you see it in reality. And you realize, again, you see the brainwashing at work. I mean, a lot of Minnesotans thought he was what was portrayed. And to the point where Kamala Harris's team did not know how crazy this guy is.
Apparently
not. How big a liar he is.
The best thing about Tim Walz, though, I think you would agree, isn't the best thing about Tim Walz being on the ticket, Jim Gaffigan playing him on SNL, because he's nailing it. He's nailing it, Strom. It's unbelievable. Listen, I got to cut you off because I got to go. We're going to have you back one more time before this election with some final thoughts. You have a great weekend, David.
You too.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.